So joining me now is Matthew Osborne, creative writer extraordinaire, Renaissance man, and a frequent attender to the Album Club and the Album Club Remixed, I should add. So Matthew, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Now, we've dragged you onto the show because a number of people have asked us, who is this Matthew Osborne and why is he associated with Johnny Kowalski and the Sexy Weirdos? So let's start with them. And I think drumsticks might be the answer to this.
Yep. Yeah, 10 years ago, I had a set of drumsticks. And so I was invited into the band as the only person that Johnny knew with a set of drumsticks. And I started playing with them. Unfortunately, I'd had several years practice on the drums as well, so I was able to slip neatly into the group. And we started off as a small ragtag band of musicians. Some of us knew each other, some of us didn't. There was kind of two groups of people that knew each other that came together. And we started off small and then seemed to get quite popular as time went by. We played like, I suppose you've heard some of it, but I suppose what we were branded as usually was gypsy punk, although I think we fall into a number of categories. Yeah, our popularity started to grow. We started to move out of Birmingham a little bit and to try and spread the music and the word elsewhere. And we went around the country, started going as far away as Cornwall, sometimes in a night. I sometimes drove the band there and back in an evening and then started my job the next day. And then that sort of expanded. We were invited by a friend of ours over to play a gig in Prague, which she's secured us. So thanks very much to Emily Haff for that. And we took a 24-hour drive out to Prague, met a bunch of people, including brother Andre, who has been our guide over there ever since. And every time we go, he's put us in touch with more and more fantastic and interesting people. And ultimately, that ended up with us playing a festival in a town called Hradec Králové, which was, it was called, it's very difficult to pronounce all these things, so I probably won't try and embarrass myself and pronounce
too
much.
I'm glad you said that.
The festival was called Na Jednom Brehu, which I'm not sure what that means. I'd like to think it means a measuring of spring, but I think that might be the name of somewhere we stayed. But they all sound very poetic and nice. Off the back of that first gig in Prague that we got, we built a bit of a tour, which included a gig in Leipzig in Germany, and we also played, I think you pronounce it Con in France, but I could be wrong. It's kind of a little bit further along the coast if you go in a southwesterly direction from Calais, and we played there. It was just a very short tour, and we managed to chance a few gigs. And we're a very brave group of musicians, really. We went out with nothing, and we often chanced our luck, and we would turn up to places of an evening and say, would you like a band for the night? And we had everything ready to go. We had PA systems and everything, so we were self-contained. And a lot of people took a chance on us, and places that did really received as well. And we then had a place to go the next time we came, and it sort of grew and grew each time. And up until now, we've done and completed 7 tours of Europe. Everyone's been brilliant in its own way. What I did was then wrote about that, and that's what you've been hearing for the last 4 weeks, is my somewhat rambling musings on some of our time there.
So you were in that band for 10 years, near enough, is that right?
To the day. In fact, I played my last gig on March the 14th, which was our final gig. I left the band for numerous reasons. They're still going, but the last gig we played was our 10th anniversary show, which we played at Centralia in Digbeth, which is a great little place if anybody ever gets the chance to go out again. That was our album release party for the album that you've been playing tracks from very kindly on this show, and also the 10th anniversary and my farewell to the band. Yeah, I threw in the towel for reasons that are probably too manifold and complicated to go into, but I left on a high. I have nothing but positive memories from the band, and to be honest, for the period of time at the start of this lockdown, I was reminiscing quite fondly and putting pen to paper, because what I gave you and what I read for you was like a little short story that I'd written, and I tried to write more of that as lockdown went on, and I was going into old footage that we had on a hard drive and some photos and old songs and reminiscing fondly of all these times and trying to piece together where we went on these tours so I could put it all down on paper.
And whilst you were bombing around Europe in a van with, you know, lugging the crates around and the amps and your drum kit and all those kind of things, were you writing through all that time? Were you always sort of putting pen to paper when you got the opportunity, or did you have to sort of bottle it up and pour it out later?
I took a notebook always, and I made the tour that I was in particular writing about. I do have several pages of notes, but they're not extensive. They're not anything that you could say was a magnificent record of anything. They're just sort of notes and scribblings that I managed to fit in between all the fun we were having. But the fun and the driving became too great, and so I sort of had to put things back together from vague notes, receipts, tour flyers, bits of paper that I'd found in the back, stuffed in the back of these notebooks, and photographs and footage and memories. It wasn't that long ago. It was 2014 was the tour that piece that I read for you took place.
And did you have in your head that kind of voice sort of saying, not necessarily hearing voices, but what I mean by that is, could you sort of catch yourself in moments or in incidents or circumstance saying, this is going to be quite good in that book that I need to write one point in time?
No, I don't think I ever, I don't know, at that point, like I've always thought I'd like to be a writer, and I said that when I was a kid for years, and then I got involved in music when I was about 14. Some friends of mine were playing in a band and I was interested in music, and my dad had some experience where he bought a drum kit and he was playing in a pub rock band, and so I'd learnt a bit off him, and my friends were playing a gig that evening, and I went upstairs to the music room, which was above the classroom that I could hear them playing in, and their drummer had just walked out in a strop because he couldn't get the intro to Teen Spirit, and I ended up having to go on the drums because they needed to fill the position really quickly. And so I played a gig that night, and then I loved it. I got pulled into music, and it is a great feeling to come off stage and have played a gig that was well received. And so I've always been in bands since then, but I've always written at the same time, but I never thought I'd write about my experiences, I suppose, whilst I was out there. I didn't go out there with the intention of writing a great book. I went out there with the intention of making a great tour and playing some great gigs. So I was focused on the music as opposed to the writing. But I wrote things down just because I'm sort of in the habit of writing sporadically throughout my life, and I've kept journals quite religiously at times, and other times I haven't, but yeah, so I didn't intend to write these things. They just felt like the stories were so interesting to me, certainly, that I wanted to write them down.
Now, you've also, I think it's fair to say, written quite a lot about music and contemporary music through different blogs, through reviews and articles about different releases and different albums.
Yeah, there's a website which I would recommend to any music geek called rateyourmusic.com. I found it one day in a boring job when I was idling through the internet on my lunch hour. Came across this one where you could basically log all the records that you had, and you could then rate them and write little reviews for them. And it's quite a good little community, and some of the writing on there is incredibly drab, and it's about music reviews. And I always remember with music reviews when I was young, I used to flick through the pages of Kerrang or whatever magazine I was reading at the time, and I'd sort of just centre in on the 1-star and 2-star reviews because they were so cutting and amusing, and I tended to focus in on users who were writing amusing reviews. And so I started, after I wrote a few just boring, this album sounds like this, it is good because this and that sort of reviews, which were quite dull to read back, I started to realise that there's no criteria for this website. You don't have to stick to a certain formula, you don't have to do things in a certain way, you can pretty much write whatever you want about the album as long as it's not, doesn't offend anybody, and it's not inciting hatred or any, you know, the usual sort of things you'd expect. And so I started branching out into quite abstract reviews, some of which were short stories that were just that I might have daydreamed little scenes whilst listening to a record. So I have there's a review which I'm still quite fond of, for an album by a band called A Silver Mount Zion, which was about a guy who had kept a sweet shop for many years until one day, and the song in particular was called Seven Angels Standing Round Your Bed, and I imagined him waking one night to seven angels standing round his bed, realising that his life was over, and then he reminisces very quickly on that he didn't make much of his life except for this, and then he sort of recalls this one moment. It was this short story, it's kind of sad really, and one of the users who read it wrote to me and said that he used that track of at his dad's funeral, and so he knew the track. And then, but when he read my story, it made him cry as well. And that was when I really realised that some people are reading the reviews that aren't necessarily about the music. They're just reading people's experiences of an album. So the reviews that I write for that aren't... Sometimes I'll write a typical review, but usually they're either cutting and sarcastic or trying to write a little short story that is inspired by the sounds on that record.
So all the things that you've recorded for us so far on the show in terms of the Johnny Kowalski stuff, we're going to pull that together as a kind of a compendium, a podcast, so people can listen to it in the round, as it were. But excitingly, we're not going to let you escape at this point. We're going to do some other work with you around... is it one of your favourite bands, would you say, around Metallica?
They're not one of my favourite bands anymore, but I really liked them at a certain time of my life. And because of that, I know a lot about them. They are a ridiculous group of people who are a sort of very similar, or if not identical, or more ridiculous than Spinal Tap themselves. And so it amused me to write these little biographies of certain points during their life. So I think the first recording that we're going to do on the subject of Metallica is for their first album, Kill 'Em All. And I suppose it was interesting to hear the Johnny Kowalski stuff, because I think people who were there will appreciate it better than perhaps listeners who don't know much about the band or don't know me and came in and just heard me reading some words on the set. And I hope that people know enough about Metallica to appreciate this, but I suspect it will be mainly hardcore Metallica fans that will find these hopefully amusing, because they are all taking the mickey to some degree out of Metallica. And I do hope they don't try and sue me, because they do have a habit of that, which Article 2 deals with, but we'll get to that another week. I find them very amusing, and the comedy sort of comes naturally for them because I know a lot about them. Yeah, I do have a fondness for them. I'm not just writing about them in a cynical way, because I don't like them. It's a sort of a fondness mixed with an acceptance of the fact that they've gone past their prime, and I'm older and I see it in a different light. But I also remember how they were to me as a kid as well.
Well, we're going to be pulling those together, I think, in the next couple of weeks. So listeners can look forward to those. But until... we get round to those recordings, Matthew, thanks for coming on and explaining your wonderful and colourful approach to writing.
Thank you very much, and thanks for continuing to have me.